It was in the thousands of promises that God made. I appreciate that today. I think of the things that's going on in the world around about us. And there's a promise for each and every condition that comes. There is many promises by God. One promise that I think that probably most of us use quite a bit is that the Lord promised that He'd never leave us or forsake us. That means a lot to know that God's with you in the things that you're doing. There is promises for conditions that we have in life. I'm glad to know that the Lord didn't promise that every day would be sunshine, that every day would be filled with all health and all good and all of that. But He did promise that He would give us grace for every situation. He promised us strength to be able to fight our battles with. He has promised us victory over all of our enemies. He's promised us that He would be with us to the end, even to the end of the world. He's made many promises concerning our well-being, promises made promises for our spiritual condition. God has promised us that where He is, we can be also if we follow the Lord. He's made us promises that there is a world beyond this one that is superior to this one. He's made us promises that He would carry us when we're old. He's made us promises that even though we're weak, His strength is made perfect in weakness. He's made all these promises that you and I can look to in the case of things that's happening. I don't know if anybody in here felt any unease about the news of the day that the Russians had attacked over there, and the news was some people deal with news different. They think that they cannot listen to it, and that's fine if that's because God doesn't need you to listen to it. Okay, God doesn't need me to listen to the news of the day and help Him out with it. But I like to listen to the news and know what's going on. And the news of the day may be a little difficult to take. There were some predictions that what's going on over there is going to affect us. I heard one man say that what's going on over there will affect most everybody in the world one way or another as it gets down to it, because it's going to change a lot of factors of economy and those kind of things in there. But I can put promises of God to those things. When I start wondering about the future of the thing, I can know this: I'm more important than the sparrow that God feeds, because He promised me that He would feed us. And it said that Solomon wasn't in all of his glory, wasn't arrayed like a lily was. God clothes the lilies; how much more will He clothe? There is promises, and God's promises are true. He laid out many, many promises for us. And if you never know those promises, it's not really encouraging. I would encourage everyone here to lean on the promises of God. Put them active in your life when the things that are going on around it. The Lord had said, I would that, one scripture says, I would that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It wasn't that the Lord's not interested in our whole well-being. He works everything to our spiritual good and our spiritual needs. But God has made many, many promises. And like bad things will come, but God promised to be with us. He promised to hold us up. He promised to give us grace in our trials. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul looked for an answer. He looked for an answer for a situation. And God gave him a promise, says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You can go through this and be more. Paul surrendered to it and said, I'll gladly do it then. I am made, if your strength, my weakness is made strong in your strength, I'm all for that. There's promises in every aspect of our lives. But they can go unclaimed, if I can use that. They can go unrealized. It doesn't do much good. In 2 Peter, I believe it is, in the first verse, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he puts some emphasis on this and says that we are, whereby we are giving exceedingly great and precious promises. The exceedingly great precious promises that we might be. You know, this comes down to the real essence of what God wants for us. That we might be partakers of the divine nature. The idea of what God wants us to do is become a part of his divine nature. Being like God should be one of our highest aims. You know, I've said this many times, but I remember when we was young, we'd get these posters and put it on the walls and stuff. My brother did more, but put these posters, maybe of an athlete or of a hero, or there's somebody you want to put a poster of, or somebody you want to be like. And no doubt, many, many, many people wanted to be back. I remember when they used to want to be like Michael Jordan, and there was posters of Michael Jordan up in the air doing his air walk or whatever it was, the way he moved his, and he's got his arm back with a basketball, he's going down. And no doubt, many people idolized that and wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Others might have wanted to dance like Michael Jackson or sing like Elvis Presley. Or Brother Carl always said Elvis Presley used to be his king till he got saved and got Jesus for his king. But all of these different people that was supposed to be, and people look up to him, we ought to want to be like God. Having the divine nature. There is many great and precious promises that I know. I want a promise of security. I want a promise that things are going to be well. I want to be healthy. I want to be taken care of. I want my whole life here to be a certain way. We can get hung up on that, but that's not really what the Lord is good. He cares about us. He cares about our life. He cared about the 5,000 that he fed with the fish and the loaves. He cared about the people that was around him. He cared about the man that was at the pool that couldn't walk. He cared about those. He wanted them to be made whole. But he wanted more than that too. He wanted them to get this great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you know that there's a promises here that through Jesus, we are the sons of God. We can have the elements of God. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, it says that you might be the children of your Father. What does that mean? It means I take on elements just like my Father. You know what that says? It says he lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust. He lets it rain on the just. He don't withhold rain to the wicked man's property. So he won't raise nothing. He don't keep the sun from shining on somebody that done something wrong last night. God loves everybody. He does good. He wants us to be partakers of the divine nature, being like God, that we might be children of God, that we think in the same terms. I don't want anybody to be destroyed. I appreciated Keith's request for, or Brother Mike's request for prayer. Today, I think somebody whispered that in. It wasn't maybe caught by everybody. And pray for the attackers too. You know, those attackers just following orders too. But they look, that's an aggressor and do all that. But I remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her sister that wanted to set up homes and make places for these, because these are the real wounded, hurt ones. God's going to let it rain on the just and the just, unjust. He's going to sunshine going on just and the unjust. And He wants us to be part of divine nature, that we pray for them too. I don't know if you can bring yourself to pray for Putin's salvation or not. But if he was saved, he'd change his ways. I mean, God wants us to be a part of the... God loves him. Do you know that? God loves him. I don't know where he's at or what, and if there's hope for him, or I don't know any of those kind of things. But God does. And God wants us, and he's given us promises. If you think there's something in your life today that you can't overcome, it's because of a short idea of God's promises. Because he promised that you can. You can be made different in everything that is hindering you from being like God. You can be made different because there's a precious promise. God has promised these things. He has made promises through the Scriptures. He promised Abraham a great promise that didn't seem realizable. But he promised Abraham, he promised of his offspring that he was going to give them a land. He promised them that they would be like the stars. The descendants of Isaac. In Isaac shall your seed be called. He promised that through Isaac that their offspring would be like the stars of the heaven, innumerable, like the sand, the grains of sand on the sea, innumerable. They're going to spread the earth. They're going to be, the descendants are going to be everything. You know that was true. God kept the promises that was made through the generations before. He made the promises. And he kept the promises. Abraham was able to go with the idea of sacrificing Isaac because God promised that the seed was going to be in Isaac. And his faith was, God made a promise and he'll keep it. Lord, help us to realize something. God laid the promises. Okay, this is what it's like. Well, let me get a scripture in... Oh, see, Joshua. First chapter of Joshua says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses." Now listen, "from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." Okay, you can read more of that, but this is basically the idea. The Lord told them, I made a promise to Abraham. I made a promise to the children. I'm going to give you a land. A land that you didn't build the cities and you didn't plant the vineyards. I'm going to give this land to you. And he says, every place that the sole of your foot touches, I give to you. And then he put boundaries to it. He said, from here to the going down to the sea, to the going, I mean, on the west side, all the way to the sea, and he stretched out a large plate and said, "This is yours." If history's correct, they only ever occupied about a third of what the Lord actually promised. They only occupied about a third because the sole of the foot never touched it. God made a promise. It's the same way today. There is thousands and thousands of promises made by the Lord. There is promises of our spiritual well-being. There's promises of us in life, the victory we can have, the grace that we can have, the overcoming that we can have. All of this is laid out in a block. This is what I give to you if your foot touches it. You don't get it just because it's there. You can't claim it as a part of the deed until your foot touches it. The Lord laid it out there and said, here is the promise. All of this is here. How much do you want it? Do you remember the scripture? It's a little fuzzy in my mind right now. But do you remember the scripture where the prophet come and tells the king, you can have victory over the Assyrians. Here, take this bow. And they took the bow and they put an arrow in it. And it sounded like the prophet kept his hands on it, and the king put his hand in it, and they went to the window, and he shot an arrow. And the prophet says, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. So he shot the arrow out there, as representing, this is the arrow, this is the Lord's deliverance. As this flies, so flies it. Now, take these arrows and strike the ground. And so the king takes it, and he hits the ground three times, I think it was. And the prophet says, the prophet got angry. The prophet was wroth. He said, why did you only hit the ground three times? You should have really smoked the ground. Now you got three deliverances. That's all you get. But the Lord said to him to start with, the block was, the whole plan was, the promise was, I will deliver the Syrians to your hand. That was the plan. God said, I'm going to deliver it in there. But when he just indifferently struck the ground without caring, without desire, without passion, he said, you only get three deliverances. You don't get the total. I promised you that. All you had to do is reach out and get it. And he should have said, I want that. We're going to take it to him. But he didn't. He just struck it three times. And three times, is that all you want? Is that all you want? I've laid promises in there that you can overcome your attitudes. You don't have to have that temper. I promised you there's grace. You don't have to have unforgiveness in your heart. Well, I struggle with my humanity. We all do. But God made a promise that I can overcome that through Christ in you. This is the promise. You don't have to have bitterness over the generation. You don't have to hold the things of long past things. You don't have to have that all in there. Did you know you can love the unlovable? I know, Brother Marty. Now, you can love the unlovable. God loves the unlovable not because that they're lovable, but he loves them because he is love. And we're to be partakers of the divine nature. We're to have the love of God in us that we love because we're love. We love because it's superior. We love because we choose it. We love because God made a promise that we can be like him, that we can give the same kind of things. You know, we can be changed. Do you believe that? Do you think that you go somewhere to the Lord and repent and the Lord changes you, and then that's the last change you ever make? Has that been a real experience for anyone that you made all the changes that you needed in life happened in one great big thing, and then it does? Or does God work with us and bring us to understanding and then change? He doesn't change us in the middle of the night with a lightning bolt and a thunderclap, and we're different when we wake up. He deals with understandings where I get to the point that I says, my attitude hurts my family, it hurts those around me, it shames me. Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to change. Help me to grab a hold of a promise that you've made. You made so many promises. There's promises in Isaiah about being able to run and jump a wall and run through the fire. You can go through the water. I mean, there's promises to where I'll give this to you if you'll reach out and get it. God gave the children of Israel a land, but he told them to go get it. He told them that they had it there. The first group that came up there had the same promise. All those years before, they had the same promise, and they came up and they sent the spies over there, and God had promised them the land. This land is yours. But when they got there, they misunderstood. They thought the promises of God was something that it wasn't. He promised them, I'll give it to you. You go get it. Do you know there is nothing could have stood before them? Big walls of Jericho would have fell back then, just like it did later. The giants that fell would have fell just like they did after that. But they looked at it and said, without faith in God, they didn't have faith, they didn't lean on the promises. They thought they was going to go and take over this thing, and the cities was built and the vineyards was planted and everybody should be dead now there because God promised it. Don't work that way. God makes the promise and then he says, how much do you want the promise? How much do you want to be? I'll give it to you. This is your inheritance. This was all types for the reality. When Christ come, the reality of the spiritual life was the same. He expressed it a little differently in expression in Matthew, the 13th chapter of Matthew. It says again in the 44th verse, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. We often misquote that and say it's like a treasure in a field. And in our minds, my mind used to always be, was the old pirate treasure chest box. And out in the field, somewhere in the field, the guy knows that there's a treasure, an old pirate treasure. You know, you opened up the old wooden tray and it had the jewels and the gold and they had everything in there that the old pirate. That's not what this is talking about. It didn't say there was a treasure in the field. It says there was treasure in the field. The illusion isn't that it's in a box or that it's all together or anything. There's a field out there with treasure in it. And the man recognizes that there's treasure in the field. What good does a treasure do you just out there buried in the field? You could say, I'm wealthy. I have a field that has treasure in it. Well, go try to buy you a hamburger with the treasure out there in the field. You can't do it until you go get it. You got to obtain it. And you're going to find treasure in this corner, and you're going to find treasure in that corner, and there's going to be some in the middle, and there's going to be some, and every treasure, bit of the treasure that you get out, you'll dig to get it out of there. It don't pop up by itself. It isn't laying on the top. He said there is treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. The kingdom, God's promises, are hidden until you go get them. Until you accept those promises. They're there. We have to go get them. Said this many times. I got it from Brother Ed Wilson, who said that there's God's part and our part. That's the whole plan. It was the plan. It was the plan throughout history. It was the plan with Abraham. It was the plan with Moses. It was a plan with all of them. I'll be God and do my part. You be a servant and do your part. God made promises like this. I'll be your God if you'll be my people. If you're not my people, I'm not your God. I will be your God. I will defend you. I will do your thing. I will take care of you. I will be God. I will keep my promises. I'll do all those things if you'll be my people. Joshua goes over, and you remember the story and how they get to the first big obstacle. Here's Jericho. They're all walled up, big thick walls. They what are you going to do with that? And God said, told them, Joshua, you go, be strong, be of a good courage. You go. I'm going to be God to you. You listen to me, Joshua. You be my people. I'll be your God. Your enemy's not going to see your back. You're never going to have to run from your enemies, Joshua, if you'll be my people. So they went and said, well, what are we going to do about Jericho? And the Lord taught them, said, you can march around it six times. On the seventh day, seven times, and get through shouts. You know the story? And Paul Harvey said that they'd done some archaeologists was digging around over there in the old ancient city of Jericho. And they said it was strange because it appeared like that the walls all fell outwardly from different directions, which is not what an earthquake or anything should have done. And they pondered, and they couldn't understand why the walls had fell the way they did. And Paul Harvey said, but we know, don't we? Yeah, that's right, Paul. We know Jericho fell, and sure, the victory was great, and the Lord told him just a few things, the things, the gold, the silver, the that all goes into the treasure of the Lord, and don't touch the garment. Don't touch the Babylonian stuff. It's defiled. Don't touch it. Well, someone did. You know, before long, he sent a little crew out to take the city of Ai. Oh, don't send the whole army out there. It's just a little place. Just get a few of them. They go out there, and 37 men die, and they show their backs to him. And Joshua comes now and says, Lord, he's down. Whoa, the whole thing. How can you believe in this? God promised that it wouldn't. God promised that it would not happen. And it happened. Nope, God said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. If you'll live for me and be faithful, all the promises are yours. And I'll give you, you'll have a field to dig in. You can get the need that you have. There's something there for it. You know, sometimes, if you've ever been there, sometimes you don't know what to do, but then you go find it. And you get inspired by it. God's promises are there. God promised them that if you'll serve me, but when they send somebody who kept the Babylonian garment and had kept the accursed thing was the word I was talking about. They had said, don't take the accursed thing. And he took the Babylonian garment and they took and hid to that. And Achan had done all that and hid it in his tent. God ain't blessing over that. God said, if you don't do that, Lord, help us. I wonder how many promises are lost. You can't do just anything your flesh wants to do and claim the promises of God. You can't just go live any way and say, well, God don't work. I'm going to tell you, God's works and God's promises are absolutely true always. It's not God that's not true. It's if there's any fault, it's in us, not in God. But you know the story of this. After they went and was revealed of what was went on in there, God was more than willing to bless. He told them, go get the land. I give it to you. I think it was Caleb said, give me the mountain over there. I want that's my inheritance right there. This is what God gave me all these years. I want the promise. Give me that promise. The same ones that had looked over there the years before and by faith said, we can take it because God's promises are true. God is able to give us those things. You know, it's the same today spiritually to us. You say, where are the spiritual giants? Well, they're laying in wait to be made. Well, I just don't have the makings of being a spiritual giant. Well, yeah, you do. All you got to do is surrender to God. Look for God. God does the rest through His promises. I want to look at another scripture. In 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. First chapter. First says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. He's talking about Jesus. For all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Jesus came to fulfill something. And everything that He came to do, those promises that are made that it can be done. It can be done. God does His part. We do ours. We can't do His and He won't do ours. We've got to take our part in this. We've got to look at it as a treasure in the field. We've got to look at these promises. How many times have you been in a place and the Lord speak to you the promise? How many times has the Lord been the one that come? You know, many of the promises are written in the songbook. They're scriptural. They're promises that's in the Bible. Hear the voice of our commander standing firm. I think about those kind of things in those scriptures that says, be strong and of a good courage. Stand there. We have Jesus on our side. Those kind of passages in the book. What a mighty God we serve. He can take care of everything. The promises that are in the songs that we sing, we can get a hold of those in the middle of the trials of life. Get a hold of those things. The promises are yea and amen. They are factual. They're true. These are what we can live our life by. Okay? Russia attacked Ukraine. Our gas prices might go up. The economy, they're really saying the inflation is going to rise quite a bit over the whole thing. It's going to go, it's been going up. I mean, Lynn and I talk about it quite a bit at the grocery stores and all those kind of things. You can get, do you know you can get your eyes off of what you should be looking at, and you can get to be a real case. You can be a basket case if you let yourself go too far. I want to encourage the congregation that I ain't saying look at it or watch it. I'm saying keep your mind on the one that's able to keep the promises that He made. He is not going to forsake us now just because of something that's going on. I would say beyond that, look at it like this. God knows it's going to happen. God can use this. God can use this to stir people's hearts, that they'll turn their hearts to God. Well, that ain't unusual. All through the Old Testament, God did things to pull the people back when they started into idolatry and when they started into worshiping places they shouldn't and things they shouldn't. God allowed things, and sometimes it was being conquered, one time for 70 years. Sometimes they let them lose battles. Sometimes they done that. God did not want the children of Israel going on with the accursed thing and blessing them anyway. Because in the end, it's destruction. God's going to save us all. Do you know that I'm going to encourage you today, no matter what's going on. Yeah, stock market may fall. Yeah, inflation may go up. Yeah, there's some turmoil in the world. Gas prices might hit $5, $6 a gallon. But we still have Christ on our side. We still have God with the same promises that He made for every generation is still made for us. And the same heaven that has been looked forward to is still there. You ain't going to get out of this life alive anyway. You're going to have to give this one up for the next one anyway. I just want to say, lean hard on the promises of God. I think it's all right to say this. It was a couple back there. They couldn't pay their rent, so they got put out of their house. Because they couldn't pay their rent, they had charges got against the guy. The guy was thrown in jail. So if you could imagine this happening to you, sisters, all of a sudden your husband is in jail and you're kicked out of your house. They also confiscated for a while even their phone, but he get the phone back. They took all their food and everything they had and put them out in the street because they couldn't pay the bill. The husband's in jail now. The woman's pregnant and with one little girl that's about 2.5 years old. And she got one little girl. She's kicked out of the house. She doesn't have a roof over her head now. She doesn't have any of those things. And she told me yesterday in a message, I don't feel like living any longer. That's desperation. I said, but what about God? And her expression was, God is good all the time. I was able to start giving her promises and turn her mind away from. I don't doubt that she was feeling that way. It was a desperate situation. But don't give up on the promises of God. I told her, God, I know and am persuaded, God is able to do something with this situation. God's able. Sometimes things happen in life like that. Well, I think that today ended up being a better day for them. God can do something. And I want us not to be discouraged just by the goings on in life, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes on Jesus and on the promises, the many, 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 many promises that God had made. God had said, I can't answer all the reasons why people are hungry all the time or some people starve. I don't understand all that, but I do know there was a promise. I think it was given to David. I've seen, I'm young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And that was a that there is a promise there for you and I that God is going to still be God. But if you start seeing what you'd call failures on God, start looking at yourself. Start asking God, what is wrong here? Is there an accursed thing in my life? Do I have something that's plugging up the promises of God? Have you laid promises out there and me just walked one narrow path and not been able to go and accumulate? Am I where I am in my spiritual life? Because I never went and picked up the promises of deliverance for the fleshly things I have in my life. The promises are there. The land that we live in, the conquered land, there is a land that we're to conquer. And if you leave a giant, if you leave a Hittite, if you leave some of the Gibeonites and the Hittites and all of those, if you leave them in the corners of your land, God promised it. I'll give you the victory over them. You go run them out of there. If there's a few Philistines sticking around here and there, some Amorites over here, God promised the land. You can conquer the land and get your enemies out of there. Of course, I'm talking in type, not by real people. You know that. But the land is to be conquered. And God made a promise. I made boundaries. This is what you can obtain. And you start looking into the scriptures, you'll have to end up saying, wow, God has really promised us a divine life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.